Have you ever liked something but was ashamed to admit it? I know there have been days as a Bengals fan, I haven't always been proud. Maybe you are a grown-up that still secretly enjoys things from your youth, maybe watching cartoons or playing with some toys. As I was growing up, I think you could say that I was a boy's boy. I played in the sandbox with my tractors and dump trucks. I played army and superheroes. I did all the things boys should do. I played baseball. I played football. And I also had a motorcycle. I was a pretty good looking guy in high school, if I do say so. Amen. I've been waiting for that, Marty. What happened, right? What happened? And what could be more manly than joining the army? But growing up, I had a few secrets about things I liked to do, but was afraid to share about me to too many people. First, I was a model. No, that's not Emerson. That's me. And I was a dancer. It's okay to laugh. It's okay. Carla's laughing. You can laugh. It's safe. And it wasn't like my mom forced me to do it. I stayed in dance all the way through high school. But not too many people knew this other side of me. I liked what I did. I just didn't want to get made fun of. I didn't want people to know. I didn't want them to think I was weird or different. And by the way, I had several top three performances in a national dance competition, so I did pretty good. But hiding a bit of who you are is nothing new. So let us go to our scriptures from John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And he says, "Hey, Jesus, make sure nobody's looking. That stuff you're doing is pretty cool. I think it's really a God thing." Now, if Nicodemus really thought that what Jesus was doing was God-inspired, why was he seeking out Jesus at night? It's not like Jesus was hard to find during the day. He was a very public figure. And if nothing else, he was at the temple or a synagogue every Sabbath. If you wanted to catch Jesus, you knew where he was. Why didn't Nicodemus seek Jesus openly? It's because Nicodemus had a secret, something he wasn't proud of. He wanted to be a follower of Jesus, but he didn't want anyone to find out. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious sect of people. The Pharisees were also a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, which was made up mostly of Pharisees and Sadducees, was the ruling class of Jerusalem, the wealthy ruling class. And they wielded more power over Jewish daily life than the Romans did. As a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have been very educated in the law. And he would have been expected to live an exemplary life above and beyond the law. And as you know, the Pharisees were not a bit too happy with the uneducated Jesus being proclaimed to be a great rabbi. And even more upsetting to the Sanhedrin, some were even calling Jesus the Messiah. There was no way that Nicodemus could openly admit he was interested in this Jesus guy. Because if he admitted that Jesus wasn't the Messiah or that Jesus was somebody important, he could lose a lot, including money, prestige, and power. Yet Nicodemus knew in his heart there was just something about this Jesus fella. So Nicodemus figures that a quick trip to this Jesus under the cover of darkness would be safe without people finding out. And we see later in John that he was right. His fellow Pharisees would condemn him for favoring Jesus. John chapter 7. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priest and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." So you see, the Pharisees are saying anybody who's smart, anybody who knows anything, is not believing in him. But this stupid, unruly mob, these nobodies, those are the ones who believe in him. And then in verse 50, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" Then they replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Nicodemus tries to take a little stand here for Jesus, doesn't he? The Pharisees were condemning him, saying he's awful, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And Nicodemus goes, shouldn't we bring him in and ask him questions and really hear what he has to say? And what happens? He's shot down. "Are you one of those morons from the other side of the river? Are you from that part of town that nobody likes, the uneducated, the other side of tracks? Get it out of your head. There's no way a prophet or a Messiah or anything good comes out of Galilee." He was quickly condemned for even suggesting that Jesus might be worth talking to. And isn't that how the world goes for many of us? We like what this Jesus stuff is all about. Jesus has a good message about faith and hope and love. We want to get a better understanding. And we slide in under the shadows of the weekend and come to church. And like Nicodemus, we want to know more about Jesus. But all too often, many of us are worried about what others might say. Or more importantly, we are concerned about what we might have to give up if we truly became a follower of Jesus. Some of us are afraid to show our Jesus side because we might lose our standing in social circles. We might be left out of the good old boys club or the parties on the weekend if we become too good of a Jesus follower. We're afraid that if we become a Jesus follower, we might be the target of a gossip circle instead of being in the middle of the gossip circle. Because let's face it, being a biblically based, born-again Christian is not exactly winning points with our society. And too many times we let Jesus and the Bible take a beating and we do nothing about it. Nicodemus tried once to stand up for Jesus and he was shut down. And for the next few years, the Pharisees continually challenged and ridiculed Jesus. They tried scheme after scheme to trip Jesus up. There was this story about the adulterous woman. And they said, "Hey, Jesus, here is this adulterous woman. Are you going to stone her according to the law?" And Nicodemus said nothing. The Pharisees said, "Hey, Jesus, why are you eating with tax collectors and other sinners?" And Nicodemus stands by and watches. The Pharisees say, "Hey, Jesus, why are you healing people on a Sabbath? Why are your disciples going out gathering grain? Why all of this stuff?" And Nicodemus remains quiet. And we looked a few weeks ago at the woman who poured the expensive jar of perfume on the feet. And the Pharisees and others said, "Hey, Jesus, why are you letting her do that?" And Nicodemus is silent. They go to Jesus and, "Jesus, don't you oppose paying taxes to Caesar?" And Nicodemus stands by and watches. And on Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes in riding like a king, what did the Pharisees say? Verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." We have critics like that today. People who say, "Look at all those Bible thumpers. Somebody should tell them to shut up. They are making us look bad. Look at those idiots standing down on the corner with signs about heaven and hell. They've got to be nuts." And the leaders of Nicodemus's ruling party are getting upset with Jesus and his followers. John 12. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And as we know, they get a traitor named Judas and pay him 30 pieces of silver. And again, Nicodemus stands by and watches. Last week, we talked about Jesus being on trial. How they arrested Jesus and brought him before the Sanhedrin. How they brought false testimony against Jesus. And Nicodemus stands by and watches. They take Jesus before Pilate, and the Pharisees lie about the charges against Jesus. And Nicodemus does nothing. Then they crucify Jesus. They lead him up Calvary. And Nicodemus stands by and watches. But watching Jesus on the cross, watching him suffer, does something to Nicodemus. And he decides he can no longer be a bystander. And as we go back to John, it says, verse 38, later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. In verse 40, it says, taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The scriptures tell us that Nicodemus brings 75 pounds of spices. That is nearly the weight of a large bag of concrete. If you ever tried to lift a big bag of concrete, that's a lot of weight. 75 pounds. This was a level of spice fit for a royal burial. Some experts say that that was enough spice to bury 100 noblemen. In today's money, 75 pounds of that spice would be worth $150,000. Nicodemus had his transformation moment. After all these years of hiding in the shadows, watching Pharisees and Sadducees mock him and go after him, and then after the game turned deadly, that's when Nicodemus realized that Jesus was the king. He was the Messiah. That he was the anointed one. And Nicodemus made a bold claim as he laid Jesus in the tomb. The Pharisees thought that they had won. But Nicodemus knew that the man who made his triumphal triumphal entry just 5 days ago was indeed a king. And the question is, when will you come out of the shadows and claim Jesus? Do you know that there are 168 hours in every week? And ask yourself, is this the only time of the week that you spend honoring the King? Just 1 hour out of every 168? Even if you watch or attend service each week, that means you are giving just 52 hours out of 8,736 per year, acknowledging Christ as our King. How many hours of that 168 per week are you standing up boldly for our Savior, Jesus Christ? How many of that hours of those 8,736 per year are you standing up for Jesus Christ? You see, when we gather in here, especially before we had live stream, we're essentially behind closed doors to the world. These walls become shadows and whispers of our faith. How many of us are willing to claim it, to live it, and to risk everything to let people know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Messiah, that He is our Lord of Lords? Do you truly hail the power of Jesus' name? Do you kneel before the Lord each and every day saying, Lord, your will be done and not mine? You see, being a Christian requires a bold stance, a stance that says, Lord, I am all yours. A stance that says to the world, I will live it out openly, no matter what others might say. The question is, are you going to continue to be like Nicodemus and just stand by as the world turns away from God? Are you going to stand by and watch our churches shrink and shrink and shrink? Or are you going to be all in and say, Jesus, you are my King? Are you willing to be all in and grow your faith? Are you willing to join a Sunday school or other Bible study so you can grow closer to God? Are you willing to proclaim your love for Jesus on social media? Are you willing to go out in public and openly profess your faith? Or are you content to come here within these walls and say, hi, I like you, Jesus. I like the stuff you're all about. Can I go to heaven? All right, I'm going home now. Talk to you next week. Or are you going to leave here today and call somebody up and say, we have a church that believes in God. You got to come with me. Are you going to say, I need to know Christ more and I want a Bible study? When can I come? Or are you going to get on your knees every day and start praying for the people that have fallen away? Will you get on your knees every day to pray for your kids and your grandkids? Will you pray for our churches? Will you go out and invite people? When I say invite people, not just say, will you come? You show up at their door and say, you're coming. You say, I'm going to church next week. How about I pick you up at 9:45? Don't give them an option. Are you ready to go and proclaim Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because we are called to go. We are called to go and make disciples. And if the only place we express our faith is here, how will the lost world outside of these walls ever know? We are called to go, to leave these walls, to leave the shadows, to go and boldly proclaim. And when Nicodemus made his mind up that he was going to be bold, he was all in. And he gave Jesus Christ everything he was worth, 75 pounds, $150,000 worth of spice. He said, "You're worth everything, Jesus. You're worth everything I've got." What is Jesus worth to you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Nicodemus's life. And we thank you for the lessons that we have learned. Lord, we know that for a long time Nicodemus was torn in his heart. But at a very crucial moment, he stepped forward and he gave your son a burial worthy of a king. And Nicodemus's heart was fully given to you. Lord, I ask today that people look at their lives and ask that question: am I standing by or am I all in? But Lord, because of your son, Jesus Christ, we owe you everything. For it is through your son, Jesus Christ, that we are redeemed, that we are made worthy to be called your children, that we will share in the promises of eternal life. We owe your son everything, and may we now go and live it. May we truly be a people that are all in, willing to proclaim your goodness, willing to proclaim your lordship, willing to share with people your redemptive power. And all of this we pray through your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. But think about turning into a people who go out and love God so much that people turn to you and say, "Is that all you ever talk about? Is church? Is that all you talk about is what Jesus is doing? Is all you talk about is what you read in the Bible about how great God is, how he provided you comfort, how he provided you love, how he provided you peace?" Let's become a people that go and proclaim what God has given us. God has given us so much more than we could ever experience in this world. God has given us forgiveness. God has given us eternity. The eternal choice to be with him forever. And I don't know about you, but that is worthy to proclaim to the world. Let us all step out of the shadows. Let us go and be the people that God has called us to be. Let us boldly proclaim our faith and live a life of love and service to the King. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.